Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. Before we take a look at the readings for today, I wanted to read you an excerpt from a meditation by Father Cantalamessa, who has been the preacher to the papal household for a number of years, and it's his commentary on the Transfiguration, which was the gospel for this past Sunday. And I didn't have an opportunity to read this to you in the program for Sunday, so let me read this to you now. And the reason I'm saying this is, what you learn is that Christ was transfigured, but we're also called, we are called to participate in that and will participate in that. Listen to what Father Cantalamessa says. In order for an event in Jesus' life to be a mystery, it is not enough, however, that something is accomplished in Christ. The event, meaning the transfiguration, must also have a salvific significance for his whole body, in that it is a pattern and an effective cause for the members of the church. The church celebrates not only Christ's transfiguration, but her own as well. And he goes on to explain. What transfiguration do I mean? Above all, the eschatological transfiguration that will happen at the end of time, when the Lord Jesus, as the apostle says, will transform the body of our humiliation so that it may be conformed to the body of his glory. Our body is weak. Our body is fragile. Our body many times is sick, deficient. There's much good about our body, but it's certainly not immortal. And what Father Cantalamessa says, he quotes St. Paul, Philippians chapter 3, verse 21. He says that the Lord Jesus will transform the body of our humiliation. We're weak. We're finite. So that it may be conformed to the body of his glory. According to Proclus of Constantinople, Christ was transfigured to show us the future transfiguration of our nature and his second coming. This concept is also present in the West. The transfiguration, writes St. Leo the Great, occurred so that the church might know with what sort of exchange the whole body of Christ was to be given, and that the members might promise to themselves a sharing in the honor of the one who had shone as their head, that we, in our resurrection from the dead, will participate in the glory of the transfiguration of Christ. Even in antiquity, Father Cantalamessa says, there were some who saw not only our final transformation, but also that of the whole cosmos prefigured in the transfiguration. On Tabor, says Anastasius of Sinai, Christ transfigured all of creation into his image and recreated it in an even more sublime way. Father Cantalamessa concludes, it is through contemplation, that is, pondering this, pondering what happened to Christ, that we, in one way, can participate in as our faith in him grows, as our obedience to him, his promises for us. If we really listen, if we really pay attention, if we take this passage that was yesterday's gospel, take it on the transfiguration, ponder it, and know that you and I will participate in that power and glory when we enter heaven. He says, Father Cantalamessa, it is through contemplation that we can enter into the mystery of the transfiguration here and now, make it ours, and participate in it. Chew on that a little bit, brothers and sisters. Ponder it. Reflect on it. Transfiguration is not just something that happened to Jesus Christ. He went before us, but we will participate in that glory. First reading for today is taken from the prophet Daniel, chapter 9, verses 4 to 10. Lord, great and awesome God, you who keep your merciful covenant toward those who love you and observe your commandments, we have sinned. Here's the honesty, brothers and sisters. It's this humility that brings us into union with Christ. We have sinned. We've been wicked. We've done evil. We have rebelled and departed from your commandments and your laws. We have not obeyed your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings, our princes, our fathers, and all the people of the land. Justice, O Lord, is on your side. We are shamed-faced, even to this day. We, the men of Judah, the residents of Jerusalem, and all Israel, near and far, in all the countries to which you have scattered them because of their treachery toward you, O Lord, we are shamed-faced, like our kings, our princes, and our fathers, for having sinned against you. But yours, O Lord, our God, are compassion and forgiveness. Yet we rebelled against you and paid no heed to your command, O Lord, our God, to live by the law you gave us through your servants, the prophets. Brothers and sisters, this is what we need to be doing during Lent. Take stock. It doesn't mean to put yourself into depression. It does mean to acknowledge that I have sinned. I have fallen short of the glory of God. But it is because of God's mercy and forgiveness that we can be lifted up in great hope. But you can't experience that great hope unless we're honest with ourselves and with God. I have sinned. I have fallen short of the glory of God. Daniel gives you a good way of approaching that. But in your own words, tell the Lord, I'm sorry. I've doubted you. I've turned away from you. I've done this. I've done that. Please forgive me. We have sinned. We have fallen short. But, O Lord, do not abandon us. Do not turn away from us. Come and show us your mercy. That's how you pray during Lent. Psalm 79, Lord, do not deal with us according to our sins. Don't remember against us the iniquities of the past. May your compassion quickly come to us, for we are brought very low. We are. If we face our sin, it can bring us very low, but it's not to leave us there. It's to bring us into that humility that God asks of us. Humility means being honest, being teachable, being willing to admit our sin. Not so that we grovel in the ground. That's not God's intent. But it's because as we say no to our sin, his glory, his presence, his love can penetrate and fill our being, body and soul. He gives himself when we repent of sin. It's not a checklist where we check off, okay, committed sin, okay, repented for sin. No, it's a living relationship, and God desires union with you, you, poor, weak, sinful, you and me. Yours, O Lord, our God, are compassion and forgiveness, yet we rebelled against you and paid no heed to your command, O Lord, our God, to live by the law you gave us through your servants, the prophets. May we, brothers and sisters, no longer have to say that. May we take heed to his commands. May we repent of our sin and be drawn near to him. It's for your good. It's for your glory. It's for your happiness. It's for your joy. Really, this is what God has for you. Let's take a look at the gospel reading for today, Luke chapter 6, verses 36 to 38. Jesus said to his disciples, "Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful." So here's a good examination of conscience right here. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Do you forgive? Are you holding on to grudges? Do you speak badly of people? Do you reject them? Look at what the Lord's saying. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. People don't deserve mercy. Mercy comes to the undeserving. That's what mercy is. And God is asking us to be merciful as he is to us. We are to be to one another. Again, Remember the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Take a look at that. Might be the sole area you want to pay attention to during Lent. Take a look at the decisions you've already made. But as you read the scriptures, let God refine. God will show you clearly, am I on the right track? Am I doing penance for the right things? Am I disciplining myself for the right things, for the right reasons? Just keep asking him, because all he wants, brothers and sisters, is union with you, with the source of all love. You could never be more complete or more happy. Never. So open your heart. Put aside those things that block his presence. Stop judging. You will not be judged. Stop condemning, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and gifts will be given to you. Good measure, packed down, shaken, packed together, shaken down and overflowing, will be poured into your lap. For the measure with which you measure will in return be measured out to you. In other words, the love, the mercy, the forgiveness, the kindness you extend to others, God will give you. Follow that path, not the opposite. If you reject, if you won't forgive, if you continue to hold grudges, if you speak against, if you try to belittle, try to put down, then that's what will be measured out to you. Neither you nor I want that. But really, brothers and sisters, God's word's true, and it's right here. It's right here in this Gospel of Luke, chapter 6, verses 36 to 38. That could be your whole Lent. Remember, I'm not asking you to change. Whatever decisions you've made, keep right on going with them. But I do want to say, if you haven't made decisions, make them now. Make them right now. We are definitely into Lent. In fact, this Sunday, this coming Sunday, this next week, we're going to be celebrating the third Sunday of Lent, the beginning of the third week of Lent. So make the decisions now, brothers and sisters. You know, take one area, I'd advise you. Take one area, two at the most. But really focus on one area, because oftentimes when you get that, the whole grouping of sins crumbles. So take a look at it from that angle. But do, please do, make a decision, make two decisions, and then let's walk through Lent so that as we decrease by giving up our sin and our own pride and our own arrogance, as we decrease, he may increase. And it really does happen. It's not just a nice pious expression. It genuinely happens. I really urge you, brothers and sisters, let's make this Lent different than any other Lent. Let's really give ourselves to God concretely and watch what he does for us. God bless you. All of us at one time or another in our lives have to endure suffering. How do we suffer as a disciple of Christ? For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free 800 number, 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.